Amen. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles tonight to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 139. Psalms 139. Psalms 139. Title of tonight's message is Comforting and Convicting. Comforting and Convicting. There's not many things in this world that you can say, hey, is something that is a comfort, but there's also something that is a conviction at the same time. And what we're going to look at tonight is understanding the omnipresence of God, living consciously in the presence of God. I know that for me, this is one of the most powerful truths that I've ever been taught as a Christian to help me in my Christian walk. And as the Lord began working in my heart this week, I knew this is what he wanted me to talk about or preach on, and just such a challenge there. Think about what the Bible says in Proverbs 15:3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And when I began thinking about how to live consciously in the presence of God, it means that I know that each step I take, each thought that I have, each action that I do, God knows it. He sees it. It's something that, do we care about that? It's a challenge to live consciously in the presence of God. It's a challenge to say, okay, I'm in the presence of God because I do not want to do something to fail him. That's where the conviction comes in. I don't want to sin because God sees me. But the comforting factor is, hey, God sees what I'm going through. And the day and time that we're living in, and I believe this is something that even young people can get an easy thought about this and understanding here, the convicting thought that comes in with this is, hey, it's a comforting factor that God sees and knows everything that I do. It's also very convicting in the thought that God sees and knows everything I do. And like I said before, I remember hearing a preacher preach on this, and God really working in my heart, and I know we've probably spoke about it a number of different times and been encouraged in many, many different ways. So here you go, Psalms chapter 139. We'll go ahead and start in verse number 1. Psalms 139, verse number 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Verses 7 through 10 is probably more the main parts of the message. It says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? And whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand hold me. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you in prayer, we're asking for help once again. To live this Christian life is a very challenging thing, something that many of us fail more often than we like to talk about. But God, when we consider that you know all and you see all, and that you're everywhere, Lord, help that to convict our hearts tonight. Help us to understand that. Help us to not want to fail you. Help us not to want to disappoint you. Help us not to live a life that is dishonoring to you. But also, Lord, as we understand that you see, know all, help it to remind us that that's a comforting thought. There's a God that's in heaven that loves us and sees what we're going through and can change it if he chooses to. But many times he allows these things to happen so we'll draw closer to him. God, I pray you encourage us tonight. Lord, challenge us and encourage us about this comforting thought, but also a very convicting thought. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was studying and reading, I came across a cute little story that I thought you might enjoy. One Sunday morning, a lecturer in a theological college was sharing a seat on a train with a small boy as he went to church. This was recorded in a Philadelphia bulletin, and if you want to look it up, you can. But it says a little boy was holding in his hand a Sunday school lesson leaflet. The lecturer sitting beside him was interested and asked in a friendly way a question of the young boy. He said, "Can I ask you a question?" The little boy said, "Yes, sir, you can." He says, "Tell me, my boy," continued the man, thinking to have a little bit of fun with the little boy. He said, "Where is God?" And he said, "Before you answer, if you can tell me where God is, I'll give you an apple." The little boy looked up at the theological lecturer sharply and promptly replied, "I'll give you a whole barrel of apples if you can tell me where God is not." And I thought that was kind of cute. Sometimes little kids teach us lessons. And you know what? Where is God? He's everywhere. What does God know? He knows everything. And what do we learn from that? What can we grow from that? What can we grow? You say, "Pastor, you said this helped you and challenged you as a Christian in your walk with the Lord." It did. For the longest time, it was always this: I don't want to fail my Savior. He loved me. He died for me. He bled on the cross for me. Because of that, I want to live for Him, and I want to give my heart to Him. I want to give my life to Him. I don't want to do anything that's going to disappoint or fail Him. I want to fear the Lord. I want to live consciously in His presence and in the presence of God. If I can sin knowing that I'm in God's presence, there's something wrong with me. There's something wrong with my spiritual life. There's something I need to realize. I'm away from God. I need to get back into His Word. I need to study in His Word. I need to see who God is, be impressed with who God is, and allow God to work in my heart and life and realize that He's God and who I am, and lift Him up and have Him high and lifted up in my life. If I can consciously let the Holy Spirit of God remind me I'm in the presence of God, and if you do that sin, you're going to do that sin in the presence of God, there's something wrong with me spiritually. I'm not saying that I'm not saved, obviously, because we all, but if you let this dwell, you let it kind of sink in and let it kind of simmer in your heart and life, God will use this as something to teach you and to humble you and help you understand the truths that are there. Living in the presence of God is such an awesome thought. Consciously living in the presence of God is such an awesome thought, but it also is something that is a comforting thought. Something the Lord showed me, you know, it's not just the presence of God is something that's convicting, but how comforting it is too. I remember months ago now teaching this to the, teaching a portion of this to the young adult class I've had the privilege of teaching. And when it came to the cross that, hey, we're going through a tough time, hard times, but just like God sees it when you do something bad, God sees it when you're hurting. Just like God sees it when you're sinning, God sees it when you're struggling. God sees when you fail, but God sees also beholding, like it says, the evil and the good. Yeah. I think we always have focused on, hey, He beholds evil, He beholds the evil. But the comforting factor is He beholds the good too. And He wants to bless us. I use it as an example with teaching it because many of the young adults inside classes are parents with kids at home. And I use the example of parenting and how we want our children to be able to come to us when there's a need. If you're going to be a good parent, you love your child, and you want the child to feel comfortable to come to you when they have a need and desire to be comforted. If your child's hurting, you want to help them. But also, it's convicting in the fact that in your presence, you don't want your child to disobey either. I don't know about you, but you ever had a child look at you and you tell them, "Don't touch that," and they still... "Now, I told you not to touch it," and they're reaching around. And even while, what does that make you want to do? That makes you want to correct them. And it infuriates you. Why does it make you upset? It's because they would dare do something in your presence that you told them they shouldn't do. That's what it makes us upset, what makes us angry. We look at them and says, "There's something wrong with you." You ever looked at your kids before and said, "There's something wrong with them"? And there's something wrong with that one. And we need to check out and take him to the doctor or something. That, you know, it makes us angry. It makes us upset. Why in the world would a child dare do something that I told him not to do and they're doing it right in front of me? That's what we do when we live consciously in the presence of God. Is when we know God desires something different from us and we remember that He's there, and we just don't care. Living consciously in the presence of God is a wonderful doctrine, something that can be preached over and over and over, and I think it should be preached over and over, because I think it's one of the keys to help us not sin. I think it's one of the keys to help us unlock the idea of, hey, I can be what's right and I can do what's right because I'm in God's presence. But the question is, do you care? Just like that little, and normally it's a three-year-old or a four-year-old that hasn't understood that corporal punishment is going to come, or it's a teenager who thinks that they know better than everybody. Usually from that 6 to 12-year-old standpoint, they're not going to do it right in front of you. They're going to do it, you know, behind your back, hopefully not. But at the same time, it disappoints you. You want to be a parent that loves them. Come to me. Talk to me. You need something? Well, maybe if you need money, don't come talk to me. But if you need some support, you need some help, I want my sons to feel comfortable to come to talk to me about the needs that they have, about their dreams, about their desires, about the things that they love. I want them to feel that. I want them to be comfortable with that. I want them to be excited about that. But I also want my sons to say, you know what? There's Dad. Dad doesn't like it when I do this. Dad doesn't appreciate what I do. I'm not going to do that. I'm definitely not going to do it in his presence. So there's a difference there of a comforting and a convicting thought. We're going to get to that in a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. But I like to look at a couple things first. The first thing I want you to know and look at is what God knows and sees. What God knows and sees. See, Pastor, I already know that answer. I know you may know it, but do you live like you know it? Because if you know it and you live like you know it, you wouldn't do some of the things that you do. You wouldn't say some of the things you say. You wouldn't even think some of the things that you think. Let's look here once again in Psalms 139. And I love these verses because it says in verse number 1, O Lord, thou searchest me, know me. The Lord knows us. And it goes in verse number 2, thou knowest my downsitting, my uprising. Now look what it says. Thou understandest my thought afar off. It's like God knows what we're going to think before we ever even think it. And he does. I don't even know where some of my thoughts come from. Sometimes I don't even understand them. God says, I know them. And I understand them. Look, we'll drop down to verse number 7. And it's the idea, you're not going to get away from them. This morning we talked about the great white throne judgment. There are people who think they're going to hide. But when the heavens and earth flee away, where are you going to hide at? There is no cave. There is no nothing. There is no hiding from the presence of God. Jonah, he went to Tarshish trying to hide from he fled from Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Adam and Eve thought that they could hide from God in the presence of the Lord amongst the trees. And Jeremiah 23:24 says, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord. You're not going to be able to hide from him. So if we would learn to understand that living consciously in the presence of God is a convicting and it's an encouraging and comforting thought. Job 42:2 puts it this way, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. I don't know about you, but that kind of blows my mind that not only does God see what I'm doing, know what I'm saying, he even knows my thoughts. Now, wouldn't that clean up our thought life a little bit? If we lived that way, if we lived according to understanding that God knows what I'm thinking, think about it. If I knew everything you thought last week, what would my opinion of you be? It probably wouldn't be very high. If you knew everything I thought last week, you'd be like, what is that guy up there preaching for? That guy needs to be at the altar. Not, it's because our thought life is one of the greatest battles in the world. And it's something that is one of the greatest struggles that people will have. And, you know, once again, just because a thought is present doesn't make it sin, is when you dwell on that thought. So tonight, think about it. God knows everything that you see, everything that you do, everything that you say, but he even goes a step farther. He knows everything that you think. You're like, wow. That's not just the amazing part. The amazing part is he still loves you. I wouldn't even like you if I knew what you were thinking. You wouldn't even like me if you knew the things I thought. But God does. And so this is a very, in my mind, is a very convicting thought here. Do I care that God knows what I think? He tells us to cast down imaginations. He tells us to bring into every thought the captivity of Jesus Christ. And we're thinking, okay, it's not a big deal if I think these things. It's not a big deal if I harbor bitterness, if I harbor anger. It's not really a big deal. Nobody sees that. Oh, yeah, they do, but you think nobody sees that. God does. And who should we care more about? The people that are around us or what God thinks? He's God. He's holy. He's almighty. He's the one that can help us. He's the one that we live for. He's the one that we fear. He's the one that we give our heart to. He's the one that died for us. He's God. And if we will learn to say, you know what? He does know what I'm thinking. And I'm going to challenge myself to try to clean up my thought life. And then you go here in verse number 7, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. So, Christian, tonight, I want you to get this. God knows and sees it all. We should live our lives like that. Sometimes you wonder what's happening. Sometimes you wonder who did this or who did that. And you're like, oh, I wish I knew that. God does. And if you say, Pastor, this is elementary. It is elementary, but if you put it into your heart and your life, it's going to change the way that you live. Second thing is, not only what does God know and see, think about why this is comforting. Consider why this is comforting. You ever felt overwhelmed? You ever felt like, I don't know what's happening, how I'm going to make it, how I'm going to handle what's going to happen? I don't have the resources, I don't have the ability, I don't have the talent. What in the world am I going to do? It's the same principle here. God sees exactly what you're going through. He has unlimited resources. He has unlimited power. He has unlimited ability. And he sees exactly what you're experiencing. He sees exactly what's going on in America. He sees exactly what's going on in this world. He sees exactly everything that's being accomplished in this day and time. And how much of a comforting fact it is when the Bible says, let your conversation be without covetousness. It means that you don't have to be lusting after things, desiring things. And he says, be content with such things as you have. You say, Pastor, you don't know what I have. You don't know what I need. He says, because the scripture says, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. There is a God that knows. There is a God who knows your thoughts. There is a God who knows your actions, knows how far you've gone, all the things you've done, and he still loves and he still cares and he still desires to do what's right and he still desires to help and bless you. I want to encourage you tonight, what a comforting thought is that there is a God who loves you and cares for you and sees what you're going through. You ever felt like something was unfair? You ever felt like no one understands? This is what faith is, people. Faith is doing what's right despite what the circumstances is. Faith is me, I'm trusting God. Remember what we talked about last Sunday night. What if God comes looking for my best? What if God asks for the thing I love the most? He's trustworthy. You can trust him. He sees it just like last week with Abraham, with Isaac. The whole point of the message last week was, yes, you can trust God with your best. Abraham did. And you show how Abraham was blessed. You see how Abraham was still encouraged in his walk with God. And Abraham learned a lesson that was so important that he needed to learn that God put him to that test. I want to encourage you tonight. It is a very comforting fact. That's why the psalmist could say, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Why will you trust in him? Because God knows what you're going through. Whether you're sitting at home tonight or sitting here tonight, God sees exactly what you go through. Or are we going to live by faith and push yourselves out there and say, if God sees it and God's letting me do it and God's allowing me to go through it, then I'm going to continue moving forward. I'm going to do my best to be right. I'm going to do my best to give my heart over to the Lord and trust him with my life. But if God sees what's happening, then it must be okay. He's not going to let me do something that's stupid. He's not going to let me do something that's going to harm myself when I'm trying to live for him. You think about it, when you're there and you're watching your children, and they feel comforted when you're there watching them. Now, they might be afraid to cross the street by themselves, which there's a good thing for that. But when you take their hand and you say, okay, let's go, child doesn't mind walking across the street. Why is that? Because they're comforted, because they know their parents are not going to send them to a place that's dangerous. I want to encourage you tonight. Living in the presence of God, we realize he knows and sees all. This is a very comforting fact. And then, it says in Psalms 32:8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. And he says, I will guide thee with mine eye. He says, I'll guide you. Next thing is, not only is this a comforting thought, but this is also a very convicting thought. When's the last time you said, I can't do that because God would be disappointed? You go back to that story, and the obvious one is the one about Joseph, and he is tempted by Potiphar's wife, and he's like, I can't do this. He goes back and he says, you know what? He says, the Lord is here with us. The Lord can see this. I can't sin against the Lord. I don't care how attractive you are. I don't care how beautiful you are. I don't care how wronged I've been. I don't care if no one else is going to find out. There is someone who's going to know, and I'm not going to sin against the Lord. He didn't make that commitment because his parents taught him that. He didn't make that commitment because he made some type of vow. He didn't say, no, he said, God will be able to see and God will be able to do. He knew that God could see in that house. He knew that he had the acute awareness of God's presence. And he says, look, I'm not going to do it. That's why David could say, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. He's saying in Psalm 51, he's getting right. He's coming to the realization, I did this in front of you, God. I did this against you and against you, and you only have I done this first and foremost. It's my relationship with you. Who cares about everyone else right this second? I need to make sure I'm right with you, because I'm never going to get right with everyone else until I'm right with you and until I understand that I'm consciously living in the presence of God. If you can live in a sinful way in the presence of God, then you truly need revival in your heart. If you can go posting things on Facebook or Instagram or whatever other ones there are out there, and it doesn't bother you the fact that, hey, that my mom or dad may see it, or that the preacher may see it, or my Sunday school teacher, first and foremost, what would God think about that? There's just some things that shouldn't be done because God doesn't think. I hope so-and-so doesn't hear me say this. We should hope so-and-so that God doesn't hear you say it. It probably doesn't need to be said. And I want to encourage you tonight. It is a very comforting thought, the fact that he's there with us when this virus is going on, when chaos is happening around us, when struggles are happening. He is very comforting to know that the Lord is there. He is at hand. He is near. It's like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could stand in front of the most powerful emperor maybe of all time. He says, we're not careful. I answer thee according to this matter. They didn't care because they weren't standing in the presence of Nebuchadnezzar. First and foremost, they were standing in the presence of God. And if we will learn that we're standing in the presence of God before we stand in the presence of anyone else, and that there is an audience of one that we live for and that we give our hearts over to, that we don't want to fail him, yeah, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful. Be careful. Why? Because the Lord up above, he knows all those things. So it doesn't matter if you can hide something from me or hide something from your parents or hide something from your mate or hide something. It matters what does God think about it. So you say, Pastor, where's the challenge at? The challenge is, do you care? Does it bother you that I can continue to live in sin knowing that God sees it and it doesn't even bother me? We need to get it right. If we truly ever want revival, whether it's that show that we're addicted to, or that hobby that we know is maybe questionable, or whether it's that thought pattern that we have that sooner or later is going to proceed out of my heart and life, whatever it is, let God's presence convict you. Because he sees it. He knows it. As I mentioned to you before, I don't think anybody has the perfect thought life. But a person that's living in, consciously in the presence of God is going to have a cleaner thought life than someone else. God knows I'm angry. God knows if I'm bitter. God knows where Adam and Eve was. God knew where Jonah was. God knew where anyone who tries to hide it in the deepest, darkest part, it's laid open and naked before God. He sees your heart. And he knows why you think it. So the challenge is tonight, let the presence of God comfort you. And we all like to use that. God's with you. Well, he is. You see somebody is hurting, tap him on the back. It's good. God's going to help you. He does. But the same person that you're tapping on the back saying, hey, God's going to help you. He's with you. He sees what you're going through. He loves you. He cares for you. He does all these things for you. Do you care the fact that he sees the wickedness that we do? The challenges that we have? And don't get me wrong, we all are striving together. We all are trying to reach that sanctification we talked about that could be conformed into the image of a son. No one's perfect, but this is a key to start getting better. It's saying, I know God sees, and I care that God sees. I know God hears, and I care that God hears. I know my thoughts, and I care that God knows my thoughts too. How much more would we want to do what's right and say, I'm standing in the presence of God? And, you know, the illustration that we've heard before and often is there's someone you really respect, someone you really look up to in a spiritual way. If they could walk with you for a day, how different would you walk? If they could see and listen to you, how different would we speak? If they could see your heart and see your thoughts, how much would we fight the temptation to think on those things that we know are wrong? But there should be no man, no woman that we put on a level that says, I really care what they want and what they think more than I care about what God thinks and wants. Everything we do is left open for him. He sees it all and knows it all. As Job said, I know that thou canst do any everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. We might be able to think and hide things from people, but God sees and knows all. So tonight, it's a comforting fact. And I know the message is a little bit shorter, but it's also a very convicting fact. Think about this. Leave this place thinking, hey, God sees what I'm doing. And care. There are so many of us that have become cold. So many of us have come hard. So many of us that we really need to check to make sure that we're children of God. Because if we can continue on living in that way over and over, we need to make sure. Now, once again, I believe a child of God can be backslidden. I believe they can be away from the Lord and have a hard heart. But make sure that you know him. And not only that you know him, make sure if you know him that you care what he thinks. So many of us, how can we live day by day, moment by moment, and allow these things to happen and continue on happening? It's because we don't care what God thinks. Pastor, I would never say that. It's not about what you're saying. It's about what you're doing. It's not about what you imagine. It's about what he has done for you. So once again tonight, it's not only a convicting thought, let it be a comforting thought. That God loves you and he cares for you. And that he is willing to be a help and a blessing to you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, when we consider these thoughts and these challenges, I want you to help us, Lord. Lord, we should consciously live in your presence. We should desire to please you, desire to do what's right, desire to care. And maybe, Lord, some of our hearts are hard. Maybe we need to come to you before and say, Lord, help me to care. Lord, I don't know where or how it's come to the point where these challenges are happening and I don't know when I stop caring, but help me to repent of that. Help me to get that right. Help me to do what's right. Lord, I also pray that you allow comfort us tonight too. Sometimes we don't know what's going on. We're worried, we're upset, we're anguished, we are overwhelmed because we forget this. We'll say it, but we don't live our lives allowing this to comfort us. So Lord, teach us once again tonight all that you know and all that you see. Teach us to allow the conscience presence of God to comfort us, that God sees exactly what's happening, knows exactly what we need, and you are able and more than willing to help meet those needs. But also, Lord, allow this to convict our heart when it comes to sin. Help us to understand, Lord, that we should not want to fail you. Our sin should bother us. It should convict our hearts. And that we do not want to be sinning in your presence. Lord, help us. In Jesus' name, amen.